Off the Ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/off the ball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.
We now have a brand new official fluffer. JP has supplanted Nathan as the best one in the house. Hello, you beautiful crowd. They're all very excited because on the way in, they got a raffle ticket. And in about 15 minutes' time, we're going to pick two people who are going to go into the final. And the winner is going to head off to Ireland against Wales in Cardiff. We have flights, two nights B&B, airport transfers and match tickets. Give me an ooh. That's why everybody's excited. We're here in the best seat in the house at Drury Buildings Dublin with Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team. Of course, they're not just here to win deadly prizes. They're here to hear some deadly rugby analysis and good crack. And that's where you three lads come in. Good evening to Sean Cronin, to John Muldoon and Johnny Murphy. Lads, you're all very welcome. We just heard in the sports news there that the Irish hooker slash captain is struggling with a stomach bug. Obviously, you hear stuff like that and you're thinking, ah, balls, I should be starting this game now if he's not there.
First thing that came into my mind. But, hopefully he'll pull through and get a few Imodiums into him, block the pipes up, and he'll be ready to go in the morning.
Graphic content at 7:10. We rehearsed this bit a little bit earlier on. It's a little bit more graphic than that. So, how are you doing? How close are you to actual fitness and being able to play?
Maybe 5-6 weeks away. Rehab's going really well. Pushing on to new stuff every week, which is kind of good when you can see the light at the end of the tunnel with a long-term injury like this. Obviously very disappointed. Just before the Six Nations, I was hoping to be involved. But like I said, once you can kind of see that finishing line and you're doing new stuff every week, it really helps with the motivation.
You had a fairly serious hamstring injury?
Pretty serious.
Did it go in a game?
The last 5 minutes against Zebra just before the kind of training week for the Six Nations, so not ideal. Oh, sorry, there was the two Champions Cup games, but not ideal timing, but I didn't damage the tendon or junction and stuff like that where you need surgery. It was just a straightforward tear, significant one, but 12-week time frame to come back.
Johnny, I know he's sitting beside you, but we could do with the impact and the pressure that having somebody like Sean Cronin around just puts on everybody to kind of raise the standards.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think the impact that Seanie gives, whether he's starting or off the bench, you know, I think he probably, you know, it wasn't going to be an armchair ride for Rory if Seanie was fit. So, I'm sure he's bitterly disappointed not to be out there, but I think from an Irish perspective, probably just lack that explosiveness, certainly coming off the bench or even, you know, starting a game. If Rory doesn't come through tomorrow, obviously we're going to be, you know, a couple of inexperienced guys. James Tracy probably go in, onto the bench, and then, you know, you have Niall there, you know, so it's going to be, you know, what could be a tough day against their main asset is, you know, their front row in Italy.
Is it a pain in the ass to be considered an impact player? Is that something you're like, shut up, stop talking about it?
I always say that when it's come to selection, sometimes it's helped me get into squads to be able to offer that off the bench. And when it's very competitive, especially at international level like that. To be pigeonholed sometimes isn't great. But like I said, it's worked in my favour other times.
We do have this thing in Irish sport where the starting team is by far the most important. But like, if you look at basketball in America or a bunch of other sports, it's very frequently the match winners are the people who are still there on the field in the absolutely huge games. And we haven't quite got that into our heads yet. Like, certainly in GAA, the notion of bringing on players to strengthen the team to win a game when it's in the melting pot, it's like, no, I need to start this game. Is there any sense of you that actually thinks I will be involved at the very most important matches at the most times, even if I don't start?
Yeah, sure, look at the stress in my face. Like, look what it's done to me the last 10 years. But sure, you can see, you mentioned the GA there, the Dubs started doing it, the squad they have, and you can see they run riot towards the end of the game. But it's hugely important to have that impact coming off the bench and what it can add. And especially as well in the kind of the red hot heat of international rugby, you need to be able to come in and fit in first and then see what you can offer the team after that.
Yeah, okay. John, how are you getting on?
Good, very good.
It's been a weird season because, you know, you're defending champions and it hasn't quite gone to plan for you. And I know professional sports people hate making excuses, but Jesus, your injury list has been unbelievably bad.
Yeah, it's been rather frustrating. Obviously, injuries and just maybe not hitting our stripes, and probably a lot of good analysis by other teams and trying to figure it out. And I think a few things just haven't gone right for us. And as I said, teams have defended us differently this year, and we've tried to adapt to that and do other stuff. But it takes time to get that right. And unfortunately, key figures and some injuries have cost us in a few positions. But look, this it's given an opportunity to a lot of young fellas to play, and some of them have done very, very well, and others know they have a bit of work to do to get there. But it's certainly put a strain on us, but at the same time, it's good for the future of us, because it gives other lads a chance, and it gives them, I suppose, that hunger to get back on the pitch if they haven't got it right.
How quickly in the middle of a game do you realise that a team who you've played against over the last number of years and seen a pattern of defence from them, hang on a second, you guys are doing something different here. This is completely different to what you normally do.
We saw that with Leinster this year. We ripped them open in the final, and it was very different, the type of defence that they did this season against us. And as I said, that's the challenge for us, to try and adapt and try and change things. And it takes a few minutes to figure out what they're going to bring. And there's this theory out there that we don't kick the ball. That's not true. We do kick it, but we have certain parameters that the way we want to kick it. And last year, a lot of teams put a lot of people in the backfield, so we decided to hold on to it. And have we seen this year, we've kicked the ball a little bit more, because a lot of teams are putting 14 men in the line against us. So it's just up to us to be clever and do what we do, and be smart about how we do it. And if we are going to kick, do it right.
Yeah, there must be, like, while it's difficult, it must also be kind of exciting to know that this is the next phase of the rugby life of Connacht, where teams are respecting you to the point of specifically game planning for you in a way that maybe they might have taken you for granted in previous seasons.
It's funny, I was doing a preview night last week in Galway, and I said about how a couple of Dublin schools have been down in Connacht over the last 12 months, I suppose, learning our game plan. That's very different to what's happened in the past. And look, we bought into a brand of rugby that was to move the ball and to play exciting rugby, and our fans love it, we love playing it. And the thing is that everyone else is looking at us now harder, and the analysis is bigger and more. I suppose we're higher up in the pecking order, so people are going to have a go at us. And as I said, it's up to us to try and get better. But at the same time, it's a nice game plan to be playing, instead of kicking the ball up in the air and chasing it and just doing one-off runners. And I've certainly enjoyed it over the last couple of years, and obviously Pat is moving on, but I assume that's what they're looking for with a new coach, to bring in someone who's going to expand on that and develop that game plan.
And build on that legacy, so it's a real thing.
Absolutely. I suppose the key thing for us is we don't have huge money to go out to the market and try and sign in players and buy in huge marquee signings. So you've got to develop young players that are there, and develop young players that nobody knows the name of. So you're going out looking for a coach who has a history in that, and they're not easy find, but you've got to go out and there's many ways to skin a cat, and there's many ways to play attack and rugby. So we'll be going out trying to find someone like that.
Okay, good stuff.
Has anyone called Rob Penny? Since he was the first one to bring in the style, he expanded on it, obviously. But obviously with Rob, when we tried to play it, it was kind of, people hated it at the start, and then when we started playing really well, everyone enjoyed it. And then he kind of was a year away from where Pat is now last year, and I spoken previously about it, he probably had a bit more to it than what we did, given the times of it. But it is a great way to play, and the way he played last year was certainly incredible to watch.
I think there's two things there. We'd nothing to lose, whereas Munster were coming from a lot of history of playing a certain type and being successful at a certain type. So we'd nothing to lose, because the only way we could look was up. So we bought into it, and it probably took a little bit longer to convince some of the Munster lads, because the way they played, they'd won so many competitions, and that's understandable. We had nothing to lose. As I said, we just wanted to go out and try and win matches, and suddenly we saw a brand that maybe was, I suppose, a foothold for us to get in there. It was, as I said, it worked.
Yeah. You think Rob Penny would be a great Connacht coach?
Well, I kind of said it with tongue in cheek.
It's already on the internet.
Yeah, well, look, whatever. They're not allowed to say what they want. I can say what I want. Yeah. I'm not going to get in trouble. The Nace boss is not going to call me and give out to me tomorrow.
Get the Paddy Power.
Yeah. it just shows, like, you know, as Mull just said, like it really worked for Connacht. It had started to work for us. And for whatever reason, there was a lot of different reasons that, you know, Rob didn't stay on that final year. But, you know, they're the kind of guys, especially when you're so far down and in the process of getting to where you want to get, then after last year, to keep building on those blocks, for a guy to come in who's going to completely change, go back to something completely different. But you want someone that can layer on that, which ye have already done, and to keep progressing that way. So, you know, look, I know it was a tongue-in-cheek comment, but...
We'll run with it. Sean, it was interesting that we tore them apart, I think. Is that what you said? About the final? Just subtle in there in the final last year. They did, though. They were brilliant last year to watch.
Yeah, look, we were beaten fair and square in the day in that final, and, you know, I was first to congratulate the lads afterwards. It was a brilliant victory. But we had to just regroup, and I think we had a really good pre-season, and we started well this year when we got out of our Champions Cup group, got a home quarter, going well in the league. So, no trophies are given out now. We got to keep that going for the rest of the year.
Tell us, Johnny, since you're free to say, what happened? What happened last week? How did we manage to lose a game where we played awful, we got back into it, we get the lead, and you think actually ours is the team that has the killer instinct that has exhibited it in similar fashion over recent seasons, and theirs is a team that has been flaky against teams like us in key moments in recent seasons, and yet all of a sudden they're the ones coming up away with the victory at the end.
Well, I think they're probably one of the big, for me, one of the key factors in it is the presence of all the Glasgow guys. You know, go to right through the core of the team. And, you know, for the first time ever, they'd go away to Welford Road and win to get into the, you know, quarterfinals of the Heineken Cup. And they did it. You know, they knew what they had to do. They went and they did it, and they did it very impressively. So I think bringing that core into the Scottish team, who are developing very well under Vern Cotter, and, you know, credit goes to Scotland. You know, they obviously had a game plan. They want to hit the middle of the park, get the ball to width as quick as they could off that quick ruck ball and try and expose them out wide. It worked in the first 35, 40 minutes. And then they'd, you know, a set piece play at the line out that I don't know a whole lot about, to be honest, but like it worked for them. They'd done their homework really, really well.
Yeah.
Obviously, that combined with the slow start Ireland had, and I suppose Ireland are in a situation, as I said earlier on, they're in a situation that they're kind of damned if they do, damned if they don't. You know, people were giving out last year about offloads, all that kind of stuff, and now they try to do that, and, you know, Jamie is probably, you know, everyone's given out that he should have never offloaded. You're like, well, it was a split-second decision, and Robbie was there in the second, and then he looked back, and he'd just gone missing. So, I suppose for me, despite the slow start, I think the biggest thing the lads will probably be disappointed with, and the lads might be able to expand on it, but is the fact that they got themselves ahead into a winning position and they didn't close out the game. And that was probably something that, you know, you can fix the slow start if it's a mentality or, you know, things went wrong beforehand, all that kind of stuff. But to get yourself to fight back was a brilliant effort, but then just not to close it out was probably something that the lads are going to be really frustrated about.
What did you think, John?
Yeah, I think you got to give a lot of credit to Scotland. I know, obviously, Johnny hit the nail on the head. The nucleus of that Glasgow team is there, and I think I've obviously a good relationship with Dan McFarland, who's the coach of Glasgow and who's soon to be second in command to Gregor in the national team. And I went into in-depth analysis last week, which I won't go to here, about Glasgow and about talking to them. But I know they feel last season they got their preparation wrong. They do a very different pre-season to anybody else. It involves a week off, a couple of weeks off, week in, and it's no real break. And they felt they got burnt out at the end of the season. And if you look at their team in the makeup of the first 2 or 3 months, it's every week they change players and they're giving people breaks. I think it's happening for two reasons. One, to peak for the Six Nations, for the Lions, and because Gregor has taken over at the end of the year. So I think there's a couple of things going on there. I think they're trying to finish on a high with Glasgow to try and win something. But more importantly, what you're seeing now is a Scotland team who are fresh and coming with a lot of confidence. And yes, they didn't get the confidence booster in November, but they were certainly very good. I did think Ireland would win, and as Johnny said, when it came to the end and we got ahead with 7 or 8 minutes to go, I thought we would have enough, but yeah. It took a lot of guts by them to come back, and unfortunately that was probably one of the only mistakes that Paddy made.
So effectively they're doing player management the way we have been for a number of years,
but absolutely.
Now they're doing it properly, and so they're, yeah. they've learned all the stuff that we've been doing, and they're just, so it's going to be a level playing field.
Exactly.
In a way it hasn't been for years. That's not good news. Owen has a question in the crowd.
Yeah, Jamie Whelan here from Tip. I think he might be the only Munster man in the house. He's got a question for Sean Cronin, which I know Sean will definitely answer very honestly.
Oh, no.
yeah, it's just a lot of criticism of Andy Farrell during the week, just defensively. I was just wondering, do you think that was justified, or was it just more of a lapse in concentration from the lads?
I'd very much just say that it was a lapse in concentration. I think Andy's put really, really good systems in place, and I think they've worked pretty well for us. And I just think that the lads will be bitterly disappointed, especially leaving a try in off two-phase play from the line-out. And I'm sure he would have got stuck into him during the week. He's put a fantastic system in place, and I think that the kind of method that we have is to try and turn attack into defence and turn that ball over, and I think it's worked pretty well for us.
Yeah, Johnny, there's been a lot of talk about this. It seems that part of the Andy Farrell defence is about that. It's about being involved in games where you want to be the aggressor, you want to be the scorer, you want to give yourself the opportunity of scoring 4 tries, because in most of the competitions that we play, that's actually going to be quite important. And it probably is going to take a little while for that to filter in and to be perfected. And remember, it's not a full year that we've had the Andy Farrell. So I thought that criticism was a bit... I just thought it was a bit rash, considering most of the defending, while we're conceding tries, it's like we're conceding tries in games that are like 5 tries to 3, as opposed to, do we want to win games 9-6 or do we want to win games 42-24?
Yeah, I think last week, certainly as Sean said, wasn't a system error, and Sean has previously said, conceding a try after 2 phases is not something that should ever happen really in the modern game, with the systems that are in place, unless you get an incredible bust off first phase, which is unusual these days. But that's a player-led issue. I think the big thing, and I think you saw probably in South Africa what they're trying to do, and Sean will obviously be able to say more than me, but it's about trying to get off the line. And then there was this perception that over in South Africa, watching it, well, I felt that they were playing a load of rugby. But if you actually watch where their rooks were, Ireland were winning the game line battle because they were coming really hard and getting up the field, up nearly to 5, 6, 7 in the line, and then they were able to taper off on the edge, make a tackle on the edge. And then if there wasn't numbers there trying to attack that rook, it's one of those things that... visually you think, oh, they're playing loads of rugby, they're making loads of gain line, where if you actually watch, they started on a line out on the halfway, and 4 phases later they actually end up back in their 22, but they look like they've played a load of rugby, which is also tiring them out. And it just, for that to happen, which didn't happen last week, there was no fold coming around the corner. It was very, you look at the hog try out wide, there was 5 guys marking 2 guys on the blind side, and they got so tight. Four came really hard at their first attacker, which then just meant the lads had no connections out wide and they couldn't continue the line speed.
Yeah, like a massive thing that Andy tries to drive is the lack of wastage, he called it. Like Johnny said, having 2 guys on the blind or 3 guys on the blind marking 1 guy, or burying her head in a ruck going after a ball that's clearly lost, because all it does is shorten up your line, so then you can't get off the line. And again, then it's about controlled aggression, line speed, knowing who's on your outside, on your inside, staying in the line, putting pressure on them, and then, like I said, trying to turn the ball over and then go from there and attack.
Yeah. It takes a while, John, for all these systems to actually filter in. Like, when Pat Lam comes, you guys are all a little bit, hang on a second, what's this, all this about? And, it takes a little bit of a... it took you guys 6 months, I think, to fully understand exactly what he was trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, a lot of the systems are very similar. There's just a certain type of nuances are different. I think whatever happened at half time with Andy Farrell, he figured it out, and we came out in the second half a lot better. We looked like we were getting a lot more line speed, and as Sean said, we seemed to be not burning as many people into the ruck. But the way the modern game is at the moment, especially international rugby, if you're getting over the gain line, you hold the ball. If you get knocked back once or twice, you kick it. And in the second half, the first couple of minutes, Ireland knocked them back once or twice and they kicked the ball to us. In the first half, that wasn't happening. In the second half, we had massive line speed. We put them under pressure and lo and behold, we got the ball back. So whatever we did at half time, they knew what was happening. But to get that message down, we needed that half time to get it. But it certainly was a lot more impressive in the second half.
Is part of that to do with experience? Is like, does that happen if Sexton is in the team and it's just that, you know, you can't cheat this stuff? Paddy Jackson has to experience that, sit there in the video, feel, oh balls, I should have done this and this.
I think you can't put everything on Johnny and Paddy, but ultimately it's going to take a bit of time for Paddy to get there. Look, you can't replace Johnny Sexton overnight, especially when you have an injury like that. Paddy, I thought, did very, very well, but you are unfortunately losing a huge amount of experience there. And we all know that Johnny Sexton's very, very aggressive in defence.
Very physical.
And yeah, he would bring the line up. We all see him barking at people, and he's very, very good at it. And unfortunately, Paddy just wouldn't be there communication-wise just yet. He's going to improve, but Johnny would be a huge loss in that D, especially in the midfield with Robbie, because Robbie's a sensational defender, and he'd probably be missing that link, that Leinster 10, 12 and 13.
Yeah you've got to think of that axis that was there with Jared Payne as well. Yeah. So intelligent with his reading in the D-line as well. So, you know, you've lost that kind of access that was so critical to being successful last season.
And from Henshaw's perspective, this is a big learning curve as well, because he was talking during the week about, you know, maybe some of us need to be a bit louder as well.
And he's now the leader at 23 years of age in between two young, inexperienced people, because he's technically the experienced one. And what age is Robbie? 23 and probably 20 caps less.
Yeah.
So he's now the leader there. And Robbie's a very vocal guy and a very, very smart rugby player. But that's a lot of pressure to put on a young fella like that. So it is tough on him, but if anyone can handle it, it's Robbie, because he's an exceptional player.
And I think you underestimate losing Jared Payne. If you listen to the ref mics, like, you know, the ref mics, and Jared wore one in a game and I listened to it, he is always talking. He's a typical Kiwi. He just talks, which in the defensive line is so important.
And 13 is the most important and hardest place to defend as well. So it's not easy, and that is a huge position as a vocal leader, and Johnny hit the nail on the head there, I think.
Yeah, okay, we've had a lot of texts and questions coming in. 53106 is the text number, or you can tweet us at Off the Ball. I'm going to get to those questions a little bit later on, because some of them are about Lions and some other stuff too, which we will get to. We're going to talk about Italy in a couple of minutes' time, but we are here at Drury Buildings with thanks to Vodafone, because we all belong to the team of us. So we're going to do our draw for the two people to be with the chance of winning that trip to Cardiff for the Wales against Ireland match on March the 10th. So if everybody in the audience wants to pick out your raffle ticket, fish it out from your pocket. If I can ask, off
go on,
you go.
Sean.
Me?
Yeah, go
okay.
on. We want two, please, Sean.
Like the lotto, isn't it?
Not quite the 12 million. What numbers have you got?
29.
Do we have number 29 in the house? Do we?
This man over here.
Yeah, okay, so he's into the final. And what's our other one?
14.
14. Aware. Do we have 14?
All right.
Okay, so we stick Owen's mic up, please, and we find out who.
He's won again.
Yeah,
he's
won again. Throw it back in.
Redraw.
Okay, so who? Owen.
So I'm here with our first winner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Jim Moore from Dundrum.
Come on, Jim, you're into the final. And our second one over here. It's Alistair Campbell.
So for anybody who wasn't here earlier on, we spoke and
she's everybody
to know
on the radio
quite well off air
before
he came on. So Alistair, is there anything new you'd like to tell us?
I'm sorry about Iraq.
Yeah. And last weekend, actually, more importantly, so rubbing your noses in it was awful. It was terrible.
All right. So what's going to happen is in about 25 minutes' time, we're going to have a quiz, and one of the two lads is going to be heading off to watch Ireland against Wales. Hopefully it's the Irish guy. for now, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more analysis. If anybody's any questions for the lads, 53106 is the text number. Are you having a good time?
Yay!
We'll be right back after these.
Off the Ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/off the ball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.
Keep going. That's it. All right. We are live from the best seat in the house at Drury Buildings Dublin with Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team. We're going to be doing a couple more of these over the course of the Six Nations as well. So if you've missed them, don't worry, there will be a couple more. And the food is great, isn't it? Yeah! Shout out to the two lads drinking the whiskey sours in the front row as well. That's how you start a Friday weekend. Okay, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. The news is coming through that Rory Best has a stomach bug and might not be able to start the game. Niall Scannell is likely to be drafted in. James Tracy has also been called up as a precaution. Sean Cronin, what type of hooker is Niall Scannell? What's his game all about? What's he like?
A bit of an all-rounder, I suppose, watching him play really well with in that Munster pack this season. Their scrum has been going very strong, so very solid scrummager, good thrower. I think he's, you know, really impressed me around the park as well. So obviously a big step up tomorrow, a bit more pressure with being involved in the Six Nations. So if he gets a start, it'll be a really, really good test for him.
In some ways, is finding out just 24 hours before if he is starting, is that better rather than kind of being named in the team and having to stew on it the whole week? Is it, or what's the ideal scenario here?
I suppose you could look at it either way. Less nerves, less, you know, you're thrown in there, you don't have much time to think about it. But then, you know, are the subs getting much reps during the week, and what's the preparation like there? But hopefully if he does, he plays well and they get off to a good start.
Is it nice to have the first few caps off the bench so you kind of get that experience of seeing exactly what it's like? Because it is a bit different. These are the games we all grew up going, these are the biggest games of the year.
Just thinking back to my own first, I was off the bench against Fiji, my own first cap, but Keane Healy got his first cap around the same time, starting against Australia in Croke Park, so mine was in the RDS against Fiji, so if you weigh those two up there, different cauldrons of pressure, but it probably is, you know, in terms of building yourself in, getting to know the systems, getting to know the lads in the squad, it probably is a bit better to get them off the bench.
And James Tracy's been putting a bit of pressure on you across the season as well. That's obviously always keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, a lot of pressure in Leinster at the moment with Rickard Strauss, Brian Byrne, James Tracy there, so four good players aiming to try and get two spots, so it's tough and it's driving the standards in there.
What kind of player is Tracy?
Again, he's quite similar.
He's all right, not great. he's all right.
Taught him everything I know.
not everything.
Yeah, no. Try and keep a few things in the back pocket, but playing quite well this year and going well and deserves his chance. Got his cap against Canada in November, so if he's involved, it'll be another good test for him playing in the Six Nations.
Yeah, another good sign for the Leinster Academy as well. Patton Limerick says, question for the forwards on the panel, but I'm going to give this one to you, John Muldoon. How could you not notice there was a 12 standing in the line-out?
Yeah, it's actually a move that we've done and so have Leinster over the last few years, and it's the first time I've seen it chucked at the front. Ty put his big backside the wrong way, and it was... Look, you have to compliment them for going for it and having a go, and sometimes when these things come off you look like a genius, and when they don't you look
very well done, wasn't it?
It was well done,
just to float it into that second kind of
When you see the I think it was Tommy Seymour in front of him, he's bent right down. So it was obviously something they'd seen in the video, and it was a training ground move, but fair play to them. That's hours of analysis, so whoever spotted that was had a nice smile on their face, I'd say.
It seems weird that Vern Cotter is kind of cresting to this peak with Scottish rugby, and it's like, all right, thanks very much, off you go there now, we've got your replacement. Like, it almost seems like
I think they were afraid of losing Gregor, to be honest. He's a local fella, he's obviously plays a nice brand of rugby, attacking brand of rugby, and I'd say they were afraid to lose him.
To where? Like, to one of the big jobs in England or France?
Yeah, possibly. I suppose he's done a few years and he probably thought he was coming towards the end of what he could do with Glasgow, and maybe he thought it was the next step, and you don't know, there's always those money bags from France will probably come and call him. Vern Cotter in his own right's a very good coach.
He lads are due a year or two in France at this stage, right? Yeah, that's the end of your career, John.
If Rougerie can stay playing, maybe I have a chance.
Somebody wanted me to ask Johnny Murphy about dealing with retirement. You were never tempted, Johnny, to eke out one last year in Japan or something?
No, I had a couple of... No, never that lucky. I had a couple of offers when I was finishing up to go to the Pro D2. And I spoke to a couple of lads that were that had been out there and done that. And the clubs that I was going to, not necessarily were kind of thinking of kind of moving forward or that. So you would have been sitting in the dressing room with a kind of fat Frenchie smoking before the game, and you're kind of going, well...
Good chapter in the book, though.
I'm not...
Packed the boxing gloves as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a wild, wild west.
And like... Rooks I went into, I'd like to come out with my eyes or my nose, like, you know. So, it just didn't. It was on the table, but it wasn't right for me at that stage. So I just started on the outside path.
Brian and Coolock, does Sean Cronin think he's missing a few swinging arms and high tackles from his game? Dylan Hartley's always dishing them out, and he seems to walk on water.
Might bring it in, will I?
Yeah, it's just a technical accident in timing, I think, is the best excuse for it. Punch the head off someone next time.
The press officer had a good chat with him to get that one out when he was coming back.
From Carl, with Warren Gatland at the helm again, are the lads worried that the Lions tour is going to all be crash-bang-wallop physicality? He seems to have a fairly limited approach to winning games. I'm not going to ask you that one, Sean, just in case it somehow damages your potential for selection.
I love the style of play.
I'd really like to work with that coach at some point in my future.
You'd be worried, all right. You'd be worried that if you kick the ball and you try to do that, going down under, you might be in for a long, long few weeks.
Yeah, because they're just going to eat that up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There needs to be something a little different.
But that's his style, you know. Yeah. That's his coaching style. It's been the same from when he was in Wasps. When I was over in Leicester, he was at Wasps, and that was the way they played. It was built on a defensive effort. It was built on, you know, that really good Wasps side that, you know, towards Delalio's, the end of his career, that won Heineken Cups and Premierships, was all about Sean Edwards' defence more so than an attacking platform. And, you know, what they did well, and they did very, it was simply done, but it was all based around that blitz, getting hard off the line. And I suppose that's just his style. It's been successful. If it's going to be successful in New Zealand, it's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah. Muldoon shaking his head there.
No, I don't think that will work down there. Going down there to New Zealand, you need a little bit of flair, and you need to throw the ball around. And I know that sounds stupid because you think you're going to play into their hands, but going down kicking the leather off the ball isn't going to do anything for us defending for long periods. It could be a long
few weeks.
Who in his
coaching staff is going to change his style, though? You know, that's the thing.
Yeah. Like,
where's
so
that?
They needed to pick a different coach, basically.
Well, not, but someone that could be, you know, has an opposite, has a bit, you know, someone that's strong enough to take him on in terms of...
In the backroom team.
Yeah, in the backroom team to say, okay, well, we need to do this and we need to expand. And look, maybe he is. Like, you know, we hope he is, but, you know, history tells a different story because he's won a lot of things doing, playing Warren ball, and that's just it.
Is that why Gregor Townsend and Joe Schmidt said no to him? Possibly.
Yeah, it could be.
And
maybe the fact that he's finishing up with Wales as well, it's kind of, there's no good ideas you can go and steal from him. Yeah. What's it like to beat the All Blacks, Sean?
Yeah, it was pretty special day. The whole thing, I suppose, being in Chicago and Soldier Field, and just the whole game, the way it kind of, we were out in front and then they clawed it back, and then, geez, you're thinking about 2013 again in the Aviva, and you know, I was on the field for the last 15 minutes. It was pretty nervy stuff, and we had to lock out a few crucial scrums, and the one on the line there were Jamie's little reverse pass to Robbie, and it was a great day. It was a great occasion, and just delighted to be part of it.
Good night out.
Pretty good night out, yeah.
Yeah.
We're in Trump Tower celebrating with Donald. So,
just before he'd
Aaron, if he's buying the drinks, lads, I'm sure he'll be
okay. Walshy says, the lads think the Paddy Jackson question has been put to bed. I thought he actually had a decent game despite the calls to get Madigan into the team last week. I don't think there were any significant calls to get Madigan into the team, in fairness. It was to get him onto the bench, really. Any thoughts on, like, Jackson is clearly our number two at the moment, and, well, I guess.
I thought Paddy played well last week.
I don't. Right, yeah.
I don't. You know, we scored a try. I thought he got the backs going well. And this, he's quite a physical player as well. I know the people pick up. They talk about this a lot. But you know, anytime I run into Paddy Jackson, he's hit me a good wallop. So I thought he had a good game.
Yeah. Okay.
For a young fella, he's getting better every year. He does have one or two tendencies to miss one or two easy kicks, easier kicks that maybe he should be getting. But as Sean says, grown in stature, he's definitely getting better, and he's learning the trade as a 10. And as I said earlier, it's very hard to replace Johnny Sexton, but he's doing a very good job. And bar that one mistake, which was giving away the penalty, I thought he had a fantastic game.
You kind of peak in this part of the world anyways, in that half around about 27, 28. Yeah. That's kind of when you start playing.
And he's another two or three years to go, yeah.
Can you ask John who he'd like to be more, Joe Canning or Brian O'Driscoll from Spud?
That's an easy one, Joe Canning. Joe Cooney. Maybe Joe Cooney, that was my hero growing up.
You were on a minor All-Ireland winning Galway hurling team?
In 2000, and against Cork, and Tomás O'Leary was on the other side, yeah. So that seems like a very long time ago, though.
What the hell happened, Galway hurling? What is going on?
Yeah, look, we're building. We've been building for quite a few years, but yeah, look, unfortunately, we seem to dominate the minors and under 21s, but we just can't break through in the senior. And I know where I am now, but it doesn't help that we can't have a home game in Leinster.
And it's ridiculous. The hurling people of Leinster should hang their heads in shame. They are a disgrace to the game.
Agreed. But I'm going to have to jump out this window before I'm left here.
I think you're right, and I think that they have to wake up to it. Our best thing that could happen is that Munster take you in and take you in lock, stock and barrel, and then that becomes one of the greatest sports championships in the world.
I think they just need to have a look at it.
And the audience is like, what sport are they talking about? What is this thing?
No, look, they need to have a think about it. And I think it has added to the Leinster Championship, but if we're not going to get a home game, what relevance is it to us? Kids have to travel 3-4 hours to see a game, and the Galway crowd can be quite fickle at times, and we don't travel too well. So,
yeah, no, screw the Leinster hurling fraternity, I say, and throw your lot in with Munster. Let's talk about the Italian game, because we know, obviously, Vern Cotter knows the Ireland coaching ticket really well. You would suspect Conor O'Shea knows the Ireland rugby team and what we're going to do pretty well as well. So there's a sense maybe if you're Italy and you're the Italian coaching ticket, you've been targeting this game, Johnny, that, like, you know, it's a home game. Apparently the weather is going to have an impact. There should be a bit bigger crowd. Like,
look,
you're not concerned.
No. Look, if you watched that game last week, I don't think you could be. Okay, there might be a small bit of a backlash from what was a pretty poor performance, but I think, you know, it was just weird. You felt that Italy are going to have a real kind of impact on the competition, probably for the first time ever after beating South Africa. And then, you know, they go back to their clubs and they come in and their first game in the Six Nations, like, they've all forgotten how to play rugby again. You know, we spoke earlier, Sean had said earlier on, like, if, you know, what you'd say to your junior cup team, what Ireland did at the first, you know, for the, just letting a try in off two phases, not getting any fold. But, like, they were doing stuff you'd give out to an under nine. Like, they made a clear break and then he kicks the ball dead. And he turns around and goes, what? And you're like, no, what are you doing? Like, it was just mindless stuff.
Is that not the stuff, though, that they work out this week, that actually spending time with a good coaching ticket who's there for the long haul, they're saying, look, okay, you know, did some very stupid things there and we're going to fix them. But over the course of this tournament, we're going to get better as opposed to getting worse.
The way they played last week, they have to fix so many.
It's their traditional stuff that always that they were really good at. They struggled badly with last week against Wales. Their scrum got pulverised.
Yeah.
An area where I think that we could do really, really well tomorrow. Their maul wasn't great. You know, areas that you typically say that Italy are very, very strong in. And I think that, you know, Keane Healy's come in there. Obviously, Jack McGrath's done really, really well. I'd say he's going to be chomping at the bit to get stuck into these lads. And I think if we can get some ascendancy there early and then get something out of our maul again. Like, I think it's all about Ireland thinking about us this week.
Yeah.
Not what Conor O'Shea is going to do, what he knows. It's about us. And that's it, really. And
their scrum and maul is going to be worse this week on the basis of the team they've picked. I'm surprised as well with Sean that Cittadini starting tight head. I thought they would have made a change there. But more importantly, their second row and back row have changed. Van Schalkwyk is a number 8 for Zebra. He's an exceptionally good player, but he's not a second row. He is a very, very good line-out forward. But again, that's going to weaken their scrum. And they've picked Favaro at 7, who is he's like a dog running after a car. He just over and back. And he'll be chopping lads like left, right and centre. But again, he's a small man, and he's not going to help their scrum or maul. And they've picked Mamba, the 7 for Zebra at 6. So what they've picked is a very mobile unit. Obviously, we don't have to speak about Parise because he's just utter class.
Yeah.
But they've picked a mobile unit as opposed to a scrummage and a mauling unit, which traditionally they have picked. So what Sean says is right. They're actually going to be worse this week. So that's an area that we definitely need to attack. The other side of that is around the park, they're going to be a lot more aggressive in defence and they will be fitter because it looked like they ran out of steam in the last 20 minutes last week.
Okay, so the game is going to be a very heavily forwards-oriented game for the first 55, 60 minutes, and after at that point, like whatever happens, happens, but we have to kill them.
Realistically, we have to be looking at a bonus point. We all looked at the schedule as it came out a couple of weeks ago or months ago, and we were all looking at this England-Ireland game going, oh, how amazing is this? But I still think everyone's going to lose a game. I think England will lose a game. But to get back on track, I think we've got to get a good performance this weekend. And as part of that, the bonus point try
yeah.
has got to be in the bag early, I think.
Sean, I know that the team don't go out saying we have to get a bonus point, but at some point it enters the thinking. How does that actually manifest itself, or how do you not think about it while obviously having to think about it?
Well, I think it's just driven down from the leadership group that you know, they're going to be plugging that all week, that to put the bonus point talk away to the side. Yeah, it's something that we'll discuss once we get into the game and get going and hopefully get a couple of tries on the board early. Then the core leaders come in, Rory, Jamie, you know, and a few of the other lads, and then they'll be looking to push it then. But it's just about, I think, starting fast this week and putting them under pressure, and just like I said, getting the core areas of our game where we did well last week and looking to improve on some areas.
Yeah, okay. So everybody's predicting a win for Ireland and a bonus point win for Ireland, yeah?
It has to be.
You're not worried at all about an Italian backlash or like a...
I think it'll be tight for a little while, but ultimately we should come out on top. And I think we'll have focused the minds from last week. I'd say we probably thought we'd just have enough in the locker last week, but ultimately it didn't come true. But I'd say... there's nothing like a loss on opening day to focus the mind.
Yeah, I hope you're dead right about that. We've got one very important piece of business left. If Owen wants to bring our lovely quiz contestants up to the stage for us, please give them a big round of applause. This is Lucky Jim and Lucky Alistair. We're going to give away a trip to Cardiff for the Wales against Ireland match. So our finalists are up on stage, and they're here because we all belong to the team of us. We're going to pair you up with one of our rugby panels. So, Alistair, you pick first.
I choose John because he actually shook my son's hand at Murrayfield after they beat Leinster. So I'd like to choose. He was really nice.
Come on, stand aside in there and make sure that manage the mic for us. Yeah. So that was a very nice story about John Muldoon being an absolute gentleman. Which Owen missed with a mic.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. So you get to pick now as well.
I'll pick Sean as my absolute gentleman because he picked out my number.
Lovely. You don't have a good story about me, do you?
Johnny.
We might be here a while.
Johnny, you get to be our independent observer for Stokes Kennedy Crowley. Okay, it's time to get serious. Luckily, nobody can see the question there. Okay. So it's the closest answer wins. You both have a piece of pen and a paper. You do, yeah. In 2011, how many Belgian blue suckling cows did Sean O'Brien have on his family farm? You may confer with your teammate and write the answer on the piece of paper.
Specifically
there.
Belgian blue.
Specifically Belgian blue, suckling. Belgian blue.
Suckling, okay.
Yeah. So, and whoever is the closest is going to win this. And the runner-up gets a Vodafone Ireland jersey. So, you know, don't overthink it there.
Jerseys?
What?
Alistair could be going home with two jerseys tonight.
Because he won one earlier in the pre-match warm-up by asking one of the best questions of the night. So, you can hear there's a lot of debate going on there. But honestly, we just wanted the number. Just Belgian blue, yeah. Yeah. We've got 2 minutes here, lads, so the ad break's going to happen. Right. I need an answer, lads.
No, I had to
ask. What? It's not a trick question. Right, shh, everybody. Okay, I need an answer. Have you got an answer written down? So, what have you got written down?
20.
20, and you've got 12, and the answer is 25. Well,
I'm sorry about that.
This is a rejection of the of Trump and his people coming. We're delighted. The whole point about the Six Nations is that you're going to have to go now and support Ireland in Wales wearing an Ireland jersey, even though you're from Scotland.
I won the jersey earlier, so obviously it was fated that I was going to do it. You know, sort of after last week, I'd make such an arse of myself.
And now you've done it on Irish radio.
Dublin, so I have to make up for my sins.
Congratulations, Alistair, and you did tell a nice story about John Muldoon. So fair play. Congratulations, Alistair. Thanks very much to Vodafone for bringing us here tonight to the Drury Buildings. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time. My thanks to Sean Cronin, to John Muldoon, to Johnny Murphy. We've got some of our best stuff coming up in the next hour. We'll also have Friday Night Racing with Don McLean and Paddy Power. But until then, good luck. Good night, folks. Thanks a million. Cheers. Let's go.
Off the Ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/offtheball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.